Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Dr. Lawrence O'Malley from UAMS Health Ortho Now. Got him on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Hotline today. Dr. O'Malley, what's new? How you doing?
I'm good, guys.
Good, good. It's NFL training camps have started. I was reading about quarterbacks coming back from Achilles injury. Kirk Cousins coming back from it. And there's another quarterback, I can't remember who it is. And it takes how long does it take for full mobility to return? Because you saw it from Aaron Rodgers last year, returning from an Achilles injury. But at age 42, I think it's a little difficult to like detail what's a lack of mobility and what's just being 42. So for anybody that's in their mid-30s, early 30s in an Achilles tear, how long does that take to recover from, and what is their recovery like?
Yeah, I mean, it can take a while. Aaron Rodgers was like this outlier. Most surgeons would not let any of their patients do what Aaron Rodgers did as fast as he did. So sometimes you have patients that'll push the indications, and they'll take risk and they actually survive it and do okay. But in terms of how quickly he got back last year, it was not recommended by any surgeon to do it that quickly. It can be like 6 to 9 months. I mean, that's the problem is. And then you start talking about for an average individual to like feel really good. But for these guys, there have to be, I mean, I have quarterbacks, most of them are relatively mobile in terms of having to avoid getting sacked. It just takes them a while to get back where they get the strength back. The problem is they get a huge amount of atrophy in the muscle. So that calf muscle just atrophies, it goes away because it's not being used for so long. And then you got to build all that back. So it's the same thing like getting back from an ACL. You get a whole bunch of quad atrophy, your thigh atrophy after tearing your ACL and having surgery. Is the same thing for the calf. You just see it in the muscle.
Are there ways to prevent that injury from even occurring, or is it just something that's totally fluky?
Yeah, there's really, beyond staying stretched out, because it's just this eccentric load against the tendon, that's really the best thing you can do is make sure that you stay limber, because there's just less force on the tendon. If the tendon is tight and you pull against it, you're a higher chance of tearing it. A lot of it, I've described to people, you start talking about cartilage tendon injuries, a lot of it's just genetics. Like, some people just have better made tissue. And most of that, unfortunately, is just genes. It's what you got from your parents. And so a lot of it's just either you got good luck or bad luck on your side.
Hey, Dr. O'Malley, in terms of that injury specifically, or just any kind of in general, do you see a difference with athletes that play on turf versus ones that play on grass a lot? And maybe what's more common for ones that might play on turf more? Do you know anything about stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's just been this debate of like, should we be, so right, we see a ton of turf, particularly all of our upper tier football in the state. It's just, they have all gone to turf because it's just way cheaper and the maintenance is easier for the schools. Mm-hmm. Turf has its value, but turf also, I think, is also harder on the knees. And so it doesn't give as much. And so you cut and you plant that foot, it sticks and that knee may twist and pop. But it's also like, I see the value in terms of having turf. I'm not sure. We haven't really been able to say one that much better, because you still see ACL ligament injuries on natural grass. There is some arguments for natural grass, but when you talk about from a high school standpoint, it's a cost aspect of it, of why all these schools have gone. And then also if it's raining, you can still practice on the field and not worry about destroying it. When you have a grass field and you're playing on a wet field, you risk destroying it. And then that's a huge expense for our schools.
I really feel like FIFA at the World Cup, mm-hmm. You cannot play the World Cup on artificial turf, but they had what feels like, and not a happy medium because it was much more grass than artificial, but it was like 90% natural. And then the grass was weaved in with about 10% artificial turf, which essentially helped the grass stay together. Like, those fields never got torn up.
Yeah.
Kind of amazing to think. And I wonder why NFL teams wouldn't try this, because the players all want.
I think some do. I want to say Green Bay has it. I think there are a couple NFL teams that actually run a hybrid like that.
NFL players.
I think it's teams up in the north.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, NFL players are begging for it. And they brought up that point. Ones who literally, I think it was Kittle, George Kittle, went to a World Cup game and was like, look, NFL, we can do this. This should be it. the players are begging for it. They've all made it pretty clear they would prefer to play on grass. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. It's just, right, it's all about the money.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
If you have turf, it's ways to throw a stage over top of it. You can have whatever events you pull it off and go for it. You can't do that on natural grass.
So, yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately, these stadiums are built for not just football. But yes, I think for the betterment of the players, they should be playing on natural grass. But I don't see that happening in a lot of these stadiums from a dollar standpoint.
For sure.
Dr. Lawrence O'Malley with us from UAMS Health Ortho. Now, Dr. O'Malley, I don't remember if I brought him up or not. I can't remember everything I bring up. Have you and I talked Jacob Mizorowski very much yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. I got to know about – this feels to me like this pitcher with the Milwaukee Brewers is testing the limits of human possibility by about 70% of his pitches being faster than 100 miles an hour. He's throwing 104 miles an hour sometimes. I've never heard of anything like this. Like, I got a chance to watch Aroldis Chapman pitch for the Red Sox in relief last week, and I remember when he was the guy that threw the hardest. Now he's throwing like 95, 96, which is great, but I've never heard of anybody that throws like Mizorowski. But then when you look at his body and those long arms and those legs and the kind of torque he can get, I can understand it. I just don't know how long you got to be. If you're the Brewers, you got to be thinking this kid is ticketed to miss a season at some point soon, right?
Yes, that's the fear, right? I mean, that's what, and you hear all these, I take care of a ton of high school pitchers. It's all about their velocity. They want them throwing as hard as they can because it's harder to hit, right? The problem is there's just so much torque on your elbow. There's so much that has to go into throwing the ball that hard consistently that, like, at some point, your elbow's just not going to hold up. And yes, that would be my fear if I'm guiding a major league team of, like, how much money do you pay a player like this in terms of signing them long term? Like, you probably don't want to. You want to sign them a short contract because there's a reasonable chance at some point that elbow gives out and he's getting Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. But until then, let him keep going because at the end of the day, the funny thing with like Tommy John surgery, you don't need it unless you're playing baseball. So, like, if you blow your elbow out, you can still live a pretty good life. You just can't throw a baseball hard anymore.
Well, you also, there's a different, I guess it depends on where the injury occurred, like where the tear occurred on the ligament, because you now hear of this internal brace surgery, which I think uses a little piece of collagen to reattach the ligament. And you're not going and getting a ligament from another part of the body, so the recovery process is a lot shorter. But what would be the difference for a pitcher that needs to have the traditional, I guess you'd call it now, Tommy John surgery, or have to have this internal brace, which will get him back to the mound a lot earlier?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So it's all about where the ligament's torn. So when you hear about them doing a repair in an internal brace, that means they tore it off the bone. And because actually healing tendon to bone or ligament to bone does relatively well. Bone has blood supply, you can get it to heal back. When you hear about a reconstruction, it's because they tore it in the middle of the ligament. When you tear the middle of the ligament, stitching it back together, it doesn't have good blood supply, it's not going to heal. Same thing you hear about, you may hear about like an ACL repair. Somebody gets an ACL repair, it's because it tore off the bone. It's not in the middle of the ligament that has poor vascular supply. And so the internal brace, so what the big push on that is that the problem when you do a repair, you stitch it back to the bone, there's still a lot of stress on that ligament. So by putting an internal brace or some sort of collagen in there, you're essentially protecting the ligament as it heals. So the thought process there is you actually want the internal brace slightly looser than your native ligament. And so that the majority of the workhorse is actually the ligament. But if, particularly in that rehab period, you get a little too much stress on the ligament, that internal brace takes the force so the ligament stays intact and continue to heal. And it works very well. And so the recovery for an internal brace surgery, you can cut it by 30-40% because it's their native ligament. It heals way faster than reconstructing. Even though you're taking tissue from them, a reconstruction is a longer recovery. So that's the difference. It's all about where the ligament's torn. In the middle, you got a reconstruction. Off the bone, you can potentially fix it.
Might show me a little lack of my knowledge of the human body, but are there other injuries which are solved by taking a ligament from a totally different part of the body and putting it where the injury is?
So pretty much like any tendon we can augment. So like you tear your quad tendon, I have these chronically torn quad tendons, right? Quad touches your patella to your quad muscle. That's chronically torn. We can reconstruct that. We can use an tendon from somewhere else, patella tendon. So pretty much any tendon we can use and reconstruct. Ligaments also, we use tendons to reconstruct ligaments, ACL, PCL, MCL, all the ligaments in your knee. I can rebuild using autografts, so using a tendon from somewhere else. Your rotator cuff, we could augment your rotator cuff if we needed to. So pretty much, yeah, you have tendons and ligaments, we can help augment them or rebuild them if they need to be done.
Did I hear you say you have problems with torn patellar tendons? Because that sounds, I mean, having it once sounds really painful. For that to be a real issue, I have fun walking. Is that real? What is that like for you?
Oh, that is terrible. It's like, that's why I tell people that is like, I have some patients right now that they may be on their come to us for their third or fourth surgery because it's failed. And yeah, that is what we call the extension mechanism, right? Your quad attaches to your kneecap that attaches through your patella tendon to your shin bone. If you've, any of that's torn, you can't walk, right? Your kneecap's broken in half, you can't walk. So you need all of that intact just to be able to walk. And so that, unfortunately, is a necessary surgery just for somebody to be mobile. And yes, we have patients, and I have some coming up that'll be their third or fourth surgery to fix that problem for them. And it requires a lot of work. It's not fun. But we get them back and functional.
Well, my heart goes out to them, and my patellar tendon goes out to them, too. Doc, appreciate you. We appreciate you coming by. These are always really very informal and information-filled visits. So thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys. You have a great day.